let's go ahead and I've got a little, I think, a quick sermon. So turn with me, if you would, while you're standing, to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to spend just a few minutes here tonight in the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The writer of this book says this: "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word for a few minutes, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, that you would lead us and guide us into your word. God, that your voice would be heard tonight, O God, that it would move within our spirits, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, you may be seated. So what the Lord just spoke is something that's been on my mind and something on my heart for the last month or so as we've prayed and sought the Lord for the direction of the church for 2024. And as we were in worship tonight, this verse came to mind, and I read it and looked at it, and I think the Lord wants me to focus here on just one word. And the word is in the first verse, and it says, "Let us go on to perfection." Let us go on to perfection. Last Sunday night, I spent a lot of time talking about a baker and a lump of dough. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. Yes, we do. Before I came up, I had all these examples in my head that I thought I would use as part of the sermon. But when I got up here, all I could talk about was a baker and a hot oven and a lump of dough. And I felt like then that the Lord was kind of setting some things up. And so tonight, what I want to talk to you is about this one word: perfection. Perfection. You see, in every one of your lives, doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, how long you've been in church, in every one of our lives, we have the opportunity to follow the Lord in one of two different manners. Moses was told by God to strike the rock. Do you remember this story? The children of Israel in Rephidim, they were thirsty. 2 million people needing water, along with livestock and cattle and sheep and everything else. And the Lord told Moses, strike the rock. You remember this? And he took his rod and he struck the rock, and enough water came out of that rock to give enough, to give water to quench the thirst of over 2 million people, plus cattle, plus livestock, plus everything else they had. Later on, whenever they were about to go into the promised land, the rock showed up again. The people once again were thirsty. The rock showed up again. And God told Moses this time to speak to the rock. Not to strike it, but to speak to it. But Moses, because of some anger issues that he had from dealing with these people for 40 years, took out his frustrations and he struck the rock. Do you remember that? He struck it. Did water come out of it? It did. Water came out of it, and it likewise gave enough water to quench the thirst of over 3 million people. By this time, we're a lot more people and a lot more livestock. And so more water came out. But Moses, if you remember, was not allowed to go into the promised land. Do you remember why? Because he struck the rock and did not speak to the rock. God told Abraham, leave the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and go to a land that I will show you. Do you remember that? And I will give it to you for a possession. And Abraham went to Haran, and then he left and he went down to the Canaanite land, and he possessed the land. Do you remember that? And then whenever Isaac got old enough to get married, Abraham had his servant to go back to the land of his fathers and bring a bride. And he said, under no circumstances do I want you to take Isaac out of this land. Why? Because it was the land of promise, remember? It was the land of promise. It was the land God had given them. It was the land God had set apart for them. And they weren't ever to leave that land. They were supposed to stay on that land because it was Abraham's land and it was given to him by God. And Abraham told his servant, do not take my son back over in that land. You bring my boy's bride here. They'll dwell here. Well, then Isaac and Rebekah, they had two boys. One of them's name was Jacob. The other's name was Esau. And when it got time for Jacob to be married, because of some friction between Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebekah decided what? We'll send Jacob away. Jacob went away. Several years later, he came back. But when he came back, he didn't come back like he would have had he stayed in the land. He came back with four wives. He came back with some sons that were renegades, except for a couple of them. He came back with a group that was idolatrous. He came back with a group that carried all the weight and cares of the land he went away to. Did God eventually restore them? Yes, he did. But Jacob had to go through a lot of trouble before he got to the point where God restored them. And my point is this. You can be in God's perfect will or you can be in God's permissive will. Both are God's will. One of them has an easier road than the other one has. One of them has a road that's easier to get to the point you're trying to get to than the other one. One of them has all the opportunities, has all the victories, has all the great things that's in store, and one of them has the same thing, but you get there with troubles and trials and circumstances and situations. Have I lost you? You still with me? So press on to perfection. What we're talking about tonight for just a few minutes is we're talking about making sure that we're moving into God's perfect will. Each one of you tonight has a perfect will for your life. This church has a perfect will that God has ordained for this particular assembly. So I want to talk for just a moment about some of the things that I feel like that God is doing in this church to help us move forward in His perfect will. Number one is I'm very proud that we just saw where Candace Johnson has been commissioned as a fully functioning AGWM missionary that's going to Ireland. I think this is in God's perfect will for this church. I feel like God didn't save your children and your grandchildren to simply have them grow up in a church in every circumstance. I think there's some teenagers in here. I think there's some younger kids in here that God has placed a call on your life. God has placed a call on your life to go into the ministry. God's placed a call in your life to go into maybe a missionary work. God's placed a special call on your life to do something that's different than anybody else is going to do. And can you get there by going the same route as everybody else can? You might be able to, but I'm going to tell you something. It's covered in troubles and trials and pitfalls and things that you're going to have to avoid and able to accomplish God's will should you choose that permissive path. So what I'm saying tonight is that everyone in this building, but particularly right now, I want to talk to those of you that are younger. You have a direction that God is calling you into. There is a perfect, whenever I was 16, 17, 18 years old, every evangelist that came to First Assembly in Silsby called me out. Every one of them that showed up called me out. And they all said the same thing. God's got a call on your life to be a minister. You need to be, and they would give me a direction. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that wasn't God's will for my life at that moment. I went ahead and pressed on into what God, I felt like was God's perfect will. And God's perfect will for my life was that I go to college, get married, get a degree, continue to work in the local church until such a moment in time when God opened up the ability and the path for me to be able to become a minister and a pastor. Could I have done that at 22? Could I become a minister at 22? Sure, I could have. I could have got my license back then. It was a lot easier. I could have got my license. I could have started preaching. I could have done that and gone that direction, and I think I still would have ended up here. Because this is, I hope you agree that this is where God wants me. If you don't, you need to let me know pretty quick. I believe this is God's will, and I believe I would have got here anyway. But the way that I went was God's perfect will. The way that I could have gone was God's permissive will. And the other way would have been full of a lot harder difficulties and trials than the way that I went, because I was in God's perfect will. And all I'm saying tonight is that there's some of you in this building that feel like you have a call of God on your life. You feel like God is moving you in a different direction. You feel like something is different about you, and it is different about you. And all I'm saying tonight is that if God's got some kind of call upon your life, if you have any inkling that you would like to do something besides what the status quo is, you know, to go to college or to get a job, if you feel like God's got a different path for you, then I would encourage you, stay in God's perfect will. Stay in God's perfect will. Because you can allow yourself to get sidetracked by having something happen, by there's just a lot of things, by something looking really good. You know, you can, my dad one time, I think I've already told you this story, but my dad one time, him and mom came into a little bit of money. They were both working, and they were making money, and they had a little jingle in their pocket for once in their life. And so dad went and bought mom a 1969 Grand Prix Model SJ. It had a 454 engine in it. It was the first car I ever saw that had power windows. Man, I thought we were rich. I thought we were, man, we're traveling in high cotton here. Everywhere we went, people would say, can we take your car? Because that baby, it rode like a cloud. It was, man, it was a great, that's back when they used to make cars. this thing was an animal. And at the same time, dad decided he'd just get him a new truck too. So dad went out there and he found the truck. And whenever he went to get the loan, they denied his credit. And he said, my credit's never been denied. I've never missed a payment. There's nothing wrong with my credit. Why am I being denied? So he had him run it again. And guess what? It was wrong again. And he and mom went out in the car and they joined hands and they said, God, we feel like this truck's what we want. We want you to give us this truck. I know that this is just a trick of the devil. And guess what happened the third time they ran his credit? He got the truck. Now he's got two car notes. And a short time after that, they ended up from two of them having a job, being in high cotton, to mom feeling like she ought to quit. And she did. And guess what happened to that new truck? It had to be sold because they couldn't afford the notes on it anymore. The difference between perfect will and permissive will. They ended up selling the car too. We ended up in this old jalopy. It had a bad habit of every time that you got, if it rained, it got a bad habit. If it wouldn't run, it just clunk, 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 till it dried out. We ended up buying a car called a Simca. Has anybody ever heard of a Simca? There's a reason most of you never heard of them. They were trash. We ended up in one of those. Why? Why did we end up there? Because we went into the permissive will instead of God's perfect will. Are you with me? There's two paths I'm talking about tonight. And all I'm saying is, as a church, as the people of a church, let's press toward God's perfect will. And even though if it doesn't seem normal, if it doesn't seem like everybody else is doing it, it doesn't seem right, let's continue to press toward perfection. Not laying again the foundations of how everybody else is doing it. But instead, let's move forward into what God has called you to do. Check your dough. Make sure the oven's at the right temperature. Make sure everything is where God called you to be, called you to do. And you say, you may say, well, I'm 40 years old and I've got a full-time job and I've always wanted to do such and such, but I can't do it now. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If it's God's perfect will, He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll open a door where the door's not open. He'll make it to where you can restore things. He'll make it to where you can accomplish what God's given you to do. He'll make it to where those things can come together. And all we've got to make sure of is that we stay in God's perfect will. Not deciding to take an easier path. You know, anytime God gives you a direction, it always looks like the hardest way. It always looks like the most difficult path. And another way always looks easier. But I just want to tell you, as somebody that's taken the easier path once or twice, it never ends up as well. I was working for Scowling Controls. I was in their service department. I was over all the service engineers. I was over all of those guys. I had a boss that loved me. She thought I was good. She loved me. I was getting good raises. I was doing well. But my daughter was turning 16. And I looked out there and a job in the sales department came up. And I always thought I'd be a good salesman, because how could you not buy something from me? Right? Right? Amen. Thank you. I always thought I'd be a good salesman. So a job came open in the sales department, and guess who they came and talked to? This job came with a company car and all the company benefits, all that stuff. It wasn't as much money, because you had money, what they called, at risk. So you sold, and then you had commissions. You had a lot more potential, but it wasn't as much money per month. Does that make sense? Okay, so Kathy and I prayed about this. And one morning, Kathy asked me, she said, "Have you heard from the Lord?" I said, "I have not." She said, "Well, are you going to take it?" I said, "Well, He hadn't told me no, but He hadn't told me yes either." And so we pressed on there for a few more days, and then He got time for me to give Him an answer. Well, I knew that if I took that I could get a company car. I knew that then I could afford to buy my daughter a car, and I knew that I just had it all worked out, how it was all going to fall in place, and it's all going to be perfect. And even though I hadn't heard a yes from the Lord, I hadn't heard a no from the Lord either, so I just said, well, He's going to let me make the decision. And He did. And I made the wrong one, because I decided to go into sales because that looked better. And at the end of the first quarter, I got a $6,000 bonus. And we replaced the carpet in our house. And I said, man alive, this is the easiest $6,000 bonus I ever made in my life. This is fun. I'm enjoying this job. I'm having a good time. But you know what happened? That didn't stand. That didn't stand. I don't know if you remember, but there was three guys that ran airplanes into buildings. Do y'all remember that? And whenever they ran airplanes into buildings, all of a sudden, all this free reign I had in all these places to go in there and meet these people and take orders and all that stuff, all of a sudden that was shut down. Now all of a sudden I can't get in anywhere unless somebody's called and requested me to come in. I can't get in there to pass out my stuff. I can't get in there to bring them my donuts. You're not going to buy anything from me if I don't feed you. I couldn't get in there to give my stuff out. I couldn't get in there to get my donuts. I couldn't ask anybody out to lunch. All of a sudden, I'm out of my element, and I'm out there trying to make a living, and now these car notes are starting to lay on me, and now my bonuses are going down to zero, and month after quarter, I'm getting no bonuses. I'm having to pull money out of my 401k in order to pay car notes because I was paying them out of my bonuses. And whenever I left Scowling Controls, I left Scowling Controls with a second mortgage on my house. I left Scowling Controls in debt up to my eyeballs. I left Scowling Controls living payday to payday and coming out short every time. Why? Because I got off into God's permissive will instead of God's perfect will. Because when I took the job that was God's will, all of a sudden every bit of that turned around. And what I'm telling you is this. Some of you tonight, God is starting to lay some ideas on your mind. God's starting to lay some directions out for you. You're starting to feel some pulls to maybe go do something different than you've ever done before. Or maybe something that's going to cause you to leave family and friends and start again like Candace has. We've changed VBS leaders now. We've got a different VBS leader. Is she in God's perfect will? Come on, Leslie, say yes. I believe she is. And we've had people in the past that led our VBS that were in God's will. But when their season ended, then they needed to end it. And as Sarah's season came to a close, then she said, I need somebody else. God opened the door for Leslie. She said yes. She could have said, well, I don't know. She could have said no. And by doing that, she would have placed herself into a permissive will situation. Now she's in a perfect will situation. She's moving along. And I know she is because I saw the meeting tonight. I walked back there. I felt the atmosphere. I experienced the conversation. I know that God is working to improve and take our BBS forward to another place maybe we haven't been by bringing someone different in. It doesn't mean that we did it wrong in the past. It just means we're doing it different now, and it's because we're in God's perfect will, and we should expect to see this prosper as we move into God's perfect will. But that perfect will wouldn't have been accomplished had she not stepped up and gone into something that's probably a little bit outside of her comfort zone, probably a little something that she says, well, I don't know about all this. But instead of looking at all the negatives, she simply grabbed hold of what God had placed into her heart and stepped into the positives. And I'm going to tell you, in faith, I believe that over the next 6 months or so, Justin and Leslie are going to see things begin to happen in their finances, in their homes, in some of their in some of their situations that they're going to begin to say, wow, this is coming to pass because we're in God's perfect will. Press on to perfection. Press on to get where God wants you to be. Press on to be what God wants you to do. We have some other ministries in the church that we would like to begin, but I don't have paid staff because I guess I could. But I'd prefer that God uses you, and we have a couple of things we want to begin here at the church. We got a couple of things that we feel like are things that God's going to need whenever God begins to bring these people in, because I believe that what God spoke tonight is exactly what's going to happen. We've heard it for many years, and we can either choose to say this is the year that the Lord's going to do it and be in God's perfect will, or we can say, well, I don't know, we better wait and see before we start preparing. Do you know what happens if you wait and see before you start preparing? If you wait and see, if you're going to have a harvest before you start going buying the bushel baskets and the things that you're going to need to bring in the harvest, if you just wait and see before you go and hire the workers and get everybody ready to prepare to bring in the harvest, if you just wait and see before you do it, you know what happens? You lose the first fruit. Is that too complicated? Because the crop dies on the vine while you're out there gathering workers because you wanted to wait and see. But instead, I think the Lord is telling us tonight, you don't have to wait and see. I done told you it's going to happen. And because we feel that way, at least I think we do, because we feel that way, then we want to prepare to receive the harvest so that whenever the harvest ripens and becomes a part of what we've promised, what we've been promised, what we expect, what we're seeing, whenever that begins to happen, we want to be ready and not lose the first crop. The first fruit is always the best fruit of the tree. What's the worst fruit? The very last piece of the harvest. Because when you get there, the tree is spent. I'm not an agriculture guy, but I think that's right. When you get to the end of the harvest, the trees aren't producing as much. I grew some tomatoes one time, And I had so many tomatoes that I couldn't give them all away. They were rotten on the vine because I couldn't give them all away. But I can tell you that at the end of that tomato harvest, those tomato plants looked spent. They were spindly. Before, they were putting off big. We're not catching fish, are we? We're harvesting tomatoes. They were putting off big, nice, red, plump, juicy tomatoes. At the end, they were little bitty things. They didn't have enough tomato in them to be called a tomato. Because it was the last crop. It was the end of the harvest. The best ones were at the first of the harvest. And all I'm saying tonight is that I feel like that God is moving in our hearts tonight, between last Sunday night and this Sunday night, to say, let's press on to perfection. If God lays something on your heart to do, then do it with all your might. If God lays a direction on your soul, then press forward into that direction without any doubt that God is going to prosper your way. If God gives you a thought and you know it's God and you're confident that God wants you to be a part of ministry that's already going on here, or to be a part of a new ministry that we'd like to start, then press into it. Don't go into it tentatively saying, well, I don't know, if this don't work out, I'll find something else. No. Go into it with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your passion. Let your heart burn for that ministry. About this time of the year, we always start Little League, right? And the people... And we've got some in here tonight that's going to either amen me or throw me out. The people that go down there and run the Little League, they always know that they can do it better than the group before them. And they grow into it with that passion that we are going to improve Fred Little League and we're going to make it better than it's ever been before. Any amens? And they get in there and they begin to work with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then they find out that the people around them don't share their vision and dreams. And then it starts to get difficult. It starts to get hard. The direction becomes tough. And after a period of time, they suddenly determine it's never going to change. It's always going to be like this. And so after a couple of years, what do? They turn it over to a fresh group that come in determined that they're going to change Fred Little League and make it better than it's ever been before. And that's true with the Little League, but it's not true in here. Because whenever we begin to follow the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, whenever the Lord lays upon our heart that we're going to make it work to make it better, that we're going to have a passion about us, that passion in the spirit world is contagious. If you're pumped up about what you're doing, I don't try to discourage you. Let me talk over here. Y'all are looking at me funny. If you're pumped up about what you're going to do, I don't discourage you. Tracy came to us several years ago now and said, I would really like to be a part of the praise band. And I said, Tracy, let us pray about it. Let us think about it. Because we just want to be sure. I mean, you know, we just want to make sure everything's good. And so she said, okay. So for months, if I'm not mistaken, for months, she waited as we prayed. She didn't come to me every week and say, what did you find out about the praise team? She would... passed by, I knew it was on her head because she was looking at me. She'd wave, but she never really said anything else about it. She just quietly waited. And whenever we felt like that the time was right and the season was right, when it all felt like God had brought it together, then I went to Tracy and I said, Tracy, are you still interested in being on the praise team? And I'm going to tell you, she wouldn't have had a bigger smile on her face if I'd have handed her $1,000. Well, maybe, let's say 800. She was thrilled. She was pumped. And I can tell you one thing, unless there's some kind of disaster, I can tell you who's going to be standing right there playing that bass guitar. Someone whose heart is in it. Someone who feels like this is what God's called them to do. Someone who's patiently waited until the time and the season came together. And whenever the time and the season came together, then the passion that God had birthed in her heart became up here. And you know what she even did? She even practiced before she ever got up here. She even took some lessons. I think Joe helped her, but she took some lessons and she made sure that whenever the moment was right for God to open the door to do what he had laid on her heart, that she was ready. She didn't go up there saying, okay, now what? How do you tune this thing? She didn't go up there like that. She went up there knowing how to tune it. She went up there knowing how to look at the keys. She went up there knowing how to play. She went up there because she had practiced and been ready, because whenever God opened the door, she wanted to be prepared to walk through it. And all I'm saying tonight is God is opening some doors in this church for some people to do things you've never maybe done before. And I'm gonna go out on a little bit of a limb here, and I'm going to say there may be... Are you ready? There may be a couple of couples, not a bunch, maybe a couple of couples that God is even going to move on your heart to spend some time working with, maybe a church that needs something that you can provide. To maybe leave here, and I don't want you to go. I'm not up here saying, yeah, well, half of you need to leave and we could have church then. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, as part of your growth, a couple of couples may find themselves that the Lord says, are you willing to give me a year somewhere else to provide something another church needs and then come back? And the question is going to be, are you willing to make that step and spend that time in the perfect will of God, or are you going to stay in a good church? You're not going to backslide and go to hell over it, but you're not going to grow to where God wants you to be. Did you understand that? It's the difference between perfect will and permissive will. It's the difference between perfect will and permissive will. Whenever God moved on our heart to finally go into the ministry, after all of those many years of toiling away, when God finally opened the door and said, okay, it's time to go. I went to the South Texas District of the Assemblies of God and said, hey, I'm ready to become a minister. What do I need to do? And they said, you need to take all these Berean courses that we've changed all the program now, and you got to go back and retake all these courses. And I said, wait a minute, I've already taken the courses. And they said, no, you took it under the old program. Now you've got to take 10 other courses under the new program. And I said, Brother Chapin, if that's what you want me to do, then I'll do it. I'll do it. But I'm going to tell you this. Can't you just ask them if I can come under the old program? Because I didn't think God wanted me to wait another 3 years, because that's how long it would have taken me to get all these other courses. I thought God was ready for me to go now, and if he's ready for me to go now, then surely he can open a door. So he said, I will, but let me tell you, they've turned down the last two guys. I said, please ask. So he did. And the next week he called me back, and he said, well, I am really shocked by this, but they said they will accept what you've done and allow you to be licensed. I got my license in February of 2001. The day my license came in the mail, the day it showed up and I picked it up and said, woohoo, I got my license, the same day New Covenant called us and said, can y'all be at church Sunday morning? Our pastor's got cancer. Could you come and interim for us? Now, they really didn't care about me preaching. They wanted us to come because Kathy played the piano. They didn't have a piano player. They needed somebody to play music, because that's the next thing they asked me. Is your wife still play the piano? So that's why they ask. But the point of the matter is this. Our daughter was a senior in high school. Our son had just, got his license to drive. We had been in this church. We raised our kids in this church the whole time. We had grown up in this church together. We had been there since I had been there since I was about 15 years old, and we had never been anywhere else. We were faithful where God had placed us, but now we're in a position where we have to decide, are we going to go to a different church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights and pastor a different people while our kids stayed at First Assembly? We could have stayed at First Assembly and waited for something else, but we felt like it was God's will for us to go to a different church while our kids went to First Assembly. We pastored New Covenant for 10 months. 10 months waiting on a pastor. If Kathy hadn't played so well, we would have got out of there sooner. But we waited 10 months for a pastor to show up, and then we went back to First Assembly for a little while. And then we went down to Lumberton and was down there about 6 months. And then we went back to First Assembly for a little while. Then we went down to Port Neches and we were down there for about 4 months. Put our name in to take the church and then decided we shouldn't have done that. And then we went back to First Assembly. Then we went to Port Arthur and we were over there for 10 months. And then at the end of that time, they got a pastor. And we went back to First Assembly and I told Kathy, I said, I guess we're going to Louisiana next. Because there's no place else to go unless we're going to go to Orange. We're at the border now. And God opened up a church in Houston, Texas. And we went over there, and the first pastor we had was in Houston, Texas, at Northside Assembly of God, of a church that had 18 people, 6 in one family. When they were gone, we had 12. And if anybody else was gone, we had a quorum. No music. Well, they had a couple of people that played pianos and organs, so we had some music, but nobody that sang something that wasn't a hymn. So I used to pick the music, send it to them. They would practice it. We'd come on Sunday morning, and we would. I made out overhead projector things, you know, had somebody that slid them on and off so you could see them on the screen, you know. And for 18 months, we pastored a church from 120 miles away. We would make hospital calls during the week. We did whatever God gave us to do for 18 months. And then at the end of 18 months, we left there and we ended up here. And what am I telling you? I'm telling you that I'm in God's perfect will. I'm telling you that it wasn't an easy route to go. I had to leave my children. I had to leave my church. I had to go away for a little while. And God kept bringing me back. But there came a day when I didn't go back no more. And all I'm saying is, are you willing to make a step like that should God open a door for you? Because if you are, then you'll find God will step you step by step through His perfect will till you get to the place where He designed for you. But if you're not willing, then you'll be in God's will, but you'll be in a permissive will. And it's a will that doesn't end up as easy to get there as the perfect will is. You say, well, going to Houston every week for 70 weeks was easy? Yes. Yes. I couldn't wait to get in the car and drive to Houston and spend 3 nights in a motel or 2 nights in a motel. I couldn't wait to do it. It was some of the most exciting times of my life. I enjoyed trying to learn Spanish and let them look at me like I'm stupid, not knowing exactly what I really said. I enjoyed everything about it because I was in God's perfect will. And all I'm saying tonight, in closing, is God calls us to press on to perfection. God calls us to move forward into what His perfect will is. And if we stay in His permissive will, we may find that while we're still in the will of God, we're not receiving the benefits and the power and the anointing and the passion. Because I think there's other people from this church that God will call to go on the mission field. I feel like there's other ministers that are either going to be raised up or that are raised up that God is going to call to pastor other churches. I feel like there's things that God's going to do from this church that is going to affect the area in which we live, because a growing, producing, good church is a church that not only receives new members, but also has an evangelism arm that goes out and changes the world. How long have I been preaching? Too long? I'll close with this. We have a church in Woodville that's been open now for almost 4 years. 4 years. It didn't have a it had a small congregation at first, about five people. And over the course of a year and a half, they lost that. So now I inherited a church that didn't have any congregation. Beautiful building, beautiful bank account, everything in place, just no people. I tried for about 6 months to get somebody to come over there. Couldn't get anybody to even come over there. And finally, the pastor in Beaumont, one of the pastors in Beaumont, said, I'd like to pastor that church. I think I could get it. I think God's laid on my heart. I think I can get it going. I said, great. He tried for a year and a half, got it up to 12 people, and then one Sunday, nobody showed back up. And then for the next three Sundays, nobody showed back up. So he called me. He said, I think I'm done. I said, well, I think you are too. So anyway, I didn't want to shut the church down. This is not a long story, so I'm not going to go a long time. I didn't want to shut the church down, so I asked permission to reach out to other Pentecostal fellowships. So I contacted the Church of God. They contacted me back, said they didn't have anybody. Then through a series of events, I met the guy that was over the Texas, Louisiana, Spanish district. And so I contacted him, and I said, hey, I got a church over here. He met me over there. We walked through the church. He came back 2 weeks later. He said, hey, I think I got a couple that wants to take the church. And so I met him over there, and it's a couple from Seguin. They got two small kids. They're children's pastors at a Spanish church over in Seguin, Texas. And so he came back. They came over there. They walked through the church. They prayed about it. They walked the halls. They did everything that I would do if somebody had asked me to do such a thing. And then a couple of weeks later, he called me back. He said, they're going to take the church. And so we're going to just, I gave him the keys. I said, you know, it's yours for the next month. Just do what you need to do. And I'm going to tell you something. He sent me pictures yesterday, and they had about 20 people over there from a church where he pastors in Houston. This is their fourth church plant. They're going over there. They're putting out new shrubs. They're cleaning up the inside. They're getting that church ready. They're passing out cards to people in town. They're making connections. They're meeting people. 20 of their people have agreed to divide themselves up, and they're going to drive from Houston to Woodville every other Sunday to help support the new pastors. They're going to direct their tithes over there. They're over there to try to help that church to grow, and they're going to be successful. We're going to have a Spanish church, Assemblies of God Church, in Woodville, Texas, and we're going to have that because there's 20 people, hallelujah, along with a pastor and with a young family that's willing to say, I'm willing to leave my business. I'm willing to leave my home. I'm willing to leave everything I'm affiliated with to come to Woodville, Texas, where I don't know anybody, because I know God has called me there, and I'm going to be in God's perfect will. And 20 church people have said, we'll give a year to get that church going. Because if they didn't, I've got no other options. I can't even get people to send me a resume on this church anymore. I'm out of options. If they didn't take it, the only other option I got is that me and Mike and Kathy and Gina start a 2 o'clock service over there trying to do something. Gina's saying, no, it's not God's will. Do what? I'm just playing. If I asked them to do it, they would be right over there with me. I know they would. Huh? We'll just eat bologna sandwiches on the way over there. And I believe that some of you would follow me over there as well. Not because of me, but because you want to see God's will. And so in closing tonight, all I want to say is, let's spend some time pressing on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of what we've always done, but allow God to begin to challenge our minds and challenge our hearts and challenge our spirits to begin to see if there's not a new direction. I mean, as I look across here, I see several people that I could use for examples, that you have left what's familiar inside of these walls and you've gone to a different department or a different people group or done something different, and allowed God to prosper you in a new spot. And all I'm saying today is, let's be sure. Let's press on to perfection. Let's press on into God's perfect will. Let's be open. Let's be open for maybe a thought or maybe a direction or maybe a new ministry or maybe something that we've never done before. Let's be open to say, you know what, God? I'm willing. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord. send me. How about me? How about if I go? How about if I do it? How about if I become a part of that? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Because this is how we're going to achieve the will of God, is for people to be in God's perfect will. Why don't you stand before I get started again? I told you, it's been 2 weeks. I got a lot stored up here. Kathy, could I get you to come up here to this piano for just a moment? I'm getting her to come up because there's a song in this songbook that I have on my heart right now. And I want us to sing it for just a moment. It's probably in that database. I think it's called Cleanse Me. Yeah, Cleanse Me. It's on 216 of this book. Just pick one. I'll find it. It's in one flat. Is that F? It's on page 216. And this song talks about cleansing me from every sin, setting me free. And we're going to sing this song. But as you sing it tonight, I want you to kind of take a moment and... Not that you've got sin in your life. I mean, people that come to church on an extra, on the bonus service, normally are people that want to follow God. But as I just look across this congregation, I know there's people in here that I know God's got more for you than what you're in, than where you're at right now. Not that you're in a bad spot, not that you're doing anything wrong, but I just know, that you're going to be challenged in the upcoming weeks, months, not to go to Africa, but maybe to take on another little task here at this church in order to see the will of God, the growth of this church occur. Because we don't want to lose the first fruits. When it comes in, we want to harvest it. So I just want to sing this song maybe a couple of times. And I want you just to take a minute as we sing and just in your heart, just say, God, I'm available. I'm available. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Search me, oh God. And know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. He know my thoughts, I pray. See some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Let's sing the fourth verse. Oh, revival comes from thee. This is the one I want. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou will supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord. leave here tonight, I just want to ask you one quick question and then we'll be gone. I want to ask you, is there anybody in this congregation tonight that you feel in your heart that there's a stirring, that God is moving you in some direction? I don't mean away from here so much as just you feel like that there's something in your spirit that you just know that something is about to change for you. Whether that means going into one of the ministries here at the church that's already established, or maybe establishing something new, or maybe going into a new thing that maybe you've never been associated before. But you, as I preach tonight, God has stirred your heart and you've said, I know that there's movement going on with me. If that's you tonight, and if it's not, then don't come down. But if it's you tonight, if you say, I know that there's a movement and a stirring going on with me, and I'm not sure what it's all about, but I want to be open to get into that place of perfection. If that's you tonight, then I simply want you to leave your seat and make your way down. I want to pray over you before we leave here tonight. There's something that's stirring in me. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. But I am sure that something is changing in my heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could I get some of you that are in your seat, could I get some of you to come down here and stand with these tonight? I'm just gonna be totally transparent with you tonight. If I wasn't fixing to pray for these people, I would stand down here tonight. Because there is something stirring in my spirit. And I don't think God's fixing to move me somewhere else. It's none of that. But I do think that God is moving me along with this church into a new spot, into a different place. And in order to make that move, I've got to have people that are moving and supporting me. I can't do it without you. Can't do it without you. It's that simple. It's that simple. So I think the reason I'm so excited about this tonight is because it confirms what I've been feeling in my spirit. That God is moving me in His perfect will into a new direction. Not a new church, none of that. But just taking this church into a greater place of anointing, I think. That's what I feel like. So as Kathy plays, would you just lift your hands this way? I want to anoint these with oil and pray with them. Just lift your hands this way if you would. And praying here before we leave tonight.
Jesus said, go, therefore, into all the lands, making disciples in every nation. And I thank God that he's prepared you over the last years of your life to be able to make that step and step into God's perfect will. Stand with me tonight, if you will. Oh, an offering. Hey, John, can you find the plates? And grab you somebody there to take the other plate. And if you have an offering tonight, then just drop it with these guys as you leave here tonight. If you're going on the Senior Summit, we'll be leaving in the morning at 7:30, not 6 o'clock, 7:30. So if you're going with us, be up here at 7:30, and we'll head out to Kerrville. We're going to be gone a few days, so to go out to Senior Summit. There's a men's conference that's coming up in April. The details are in your bulletin. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. This is in Neches Valley. It's going to be at Lake Tomahawk, just right up the road here. The cost is real reasonable. It's $65. That's for an overnight stay and two meals. Larry Emerson, which if you may not know Larry Emerson, but he's a pastor in the North Central Church in Houston, Texas. Great man of God. You're going to enjoy him. If you'd like to go to a men's conference, then sign up. Let's try to make a good showing there. We got women going to the women's conference. We need to beat them. Oh, I didn't get any amens on that. Well, I know your wife's standing beside, but it's okay to say beat them. I'm joking. So anyway, remember those things. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for the challenge you've given us to our hearts. And I pray tonight, oh God, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would lead us and guide us and direct us, Father God. Rest our bodies, rest our minds, oh God, for this next week, oh God. Prepare us, oh God, for your work and your will, oh God. Bless these congregation, Lord God, mentally, physically, financially, and everything they put their hand to. May they prosper, O God, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen.